Greetings, fellow core members, and welcome to Connect the Core, a Life Teen podcast. Here we share innovative ideas for ministering to teens and have conversations designed to support core members like you and me and inspire spiritual growth. I'm your host, Jill Bagshaw, Director of Catechesis and Research for Life Teen, and I'll be taking this journey with you. Not only do I work in the mission of Life Teen for my day job, but I also have my own core member story. I'll be your guide as we listen in on conversations that help us move from good to great in our volunteer ministry. Today, we're talking about relational ministry. We all know that terrible feeling when we're trying to make conversation with a squirrely 14-year-old and the hair on the back of our neck stands up because we realize, yeah, we're no longer in high school. We'll talk about that discomfort and so much more with our guest, Deacon Bob Rice. Deacon Bob is a speaker, author, musician, Franciscan University professor. Let's get to know him more. Deacon Bob, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Jill. It's great to be here.
I just have some rapid fire questions for you.
I'm ready.
You play the accordion.
I do. Not well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, with that caveat.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm an aspiring accordion player, which is admittedly a pretty low rung of humanity. And my recommendation to anybody listening, get married first and then start playing the accordion. Because I don't know who you might attract if you're trying to be an accordion player.
Fair.
But once the vows are there, you know, the grace works.
So before the vows, it's guitar.
That's right. Oh, legit. Yeah, 6-day guitar. Yeah. Right, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you lure them with the guitar. It's the bait and switch. You lure them with the guitar and then you say, honey, I want to play accordion.
I love it.
Yeah.
So an accordion produces sound through bellows.
Yes, it does.
Okay. So my question for you is, when was the last time you bellowed, that you yourself bellowed about something?
Let's see. Probably at a youth conference, just to be stupid of some sort. That might have been a good bellow moment. Or probably at my children when they did something stupid.
You have to bring out the bellow every now and then. Yes.
Bring out the bellow.
To keep the order.
If they wouldn't get out of bed in the morning.
There you go.
Pull the accordion out and that got them going.
Yes, it would.
That's like audio caffeine or taser. Maybe that's a better analogy for it from an audio sense.
So we were watching a PBS show, Victoria. It's very much a middle-aged woman kind of show. Okay. It's got the cool costumes the history to it. But they were visiting Scotland, and the way that they get them out of bed in Scotland, of course, is
exactly. My youngest kid wants to play the
terrible
bagpipes, and I'm so excited about it. And my wife is like, not an accordion and bagpipes, please.
No, not
but it's going to happen. I'm going to find a way to make it happen. Yeah.
What do most people get wrong about Ohio?
Oh, let's see. What do they get wrong about Ohio? I find most people accurately describe Ohio as a nice place to live, but not necessarily visit. You know, a lot of people drive through Ohio and I go, that's about right. But I love living there. There's not a lot to do in Ohio. I would say that. So that would probably be one of the things, at least, about Ohio.
Okay.
I hope you ask me about every state. I hope that's the rest of the questions.
I will not. I will spare you. How about, what's the most surprising thing about being a deacon in the church?
It's such a gift to be a deacon. And the most surprising thing for me was how much I enjoy being an ordinary minister of the Eucharist, which seems like kind of such a simple thing. You know, I mean, it's great to be on the altar. It's great to prepare the altar. It's great to preach homilies. But of all the things that I really love doing, it's just being an ordinary minister of the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. You know, it's such a gift to be able to do that.
You're no longer extraordinary.
That's right. I went from extraordinary to ordinary, which in the church is an upgrade.
But otherwise, you're very much a characteristically calm guy.
Oh, you have a chill vibe to you.
I'm
super chill.
So what is the source of your chillness, even with 7 children at home?
That's a really good question. I've always been a pretty laid-back personality of sorts. And I would say I just always feel like everything's going to work out. And so I don't get too uppity about stuff. You know, I mean, we all deal with anxiety and things, but just things will come and just wait for it to come and happen. I did a lot of years in improv comedy, and so that was great in that, you know what, there's no use preparing. You don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be fine. And that just kind of gives a nice sense of peace about things. So I think a lot of that is just, I trust that things are going to go great no matter what, even if I'm not sure what's going on. And I rarely know what's going on.
I do think improv is life skills.
Yeah, totally.
I think every student should take improv.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's great, especially working with others.
Yes.
Yeah.
And trust.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're talking today about relational ministry.
Oh, okay.
And so I just want to give your intro that you're a speaker, author, musician, and professor of catechetics at Franciscan University of Steubenville.
Yep.
You're a husband and father of seven.
Well, I'm only husband of one. Father of seven.
Thank you for
Not
clarifying.
Not Mormon. Just want to clarify.
Super important.
Yeah, big difference. Good. Yeah.
And Bob, we ask all of our guests, when did you first encounter Life Teen?
I first encountered Life Teen when I was at Steubenville. I was getting my master's degree, and I met a guy named Eric Westby, who was a youth minister at St. Therese, I think, here in Phoenix. For those of you that know such places, my previous experience had been in Young Life, which is more of an ecumenical evangelical outreach thing, and Life Teen was just starting to get known nationally. So my friend who had been doing Life Teen here in Phoenix when he was out in Steubenville said, hey, we should really check this out. And we actually started to do it in Steubenville. This was probably 1994, 1995. And I came out for a conference that was at St. Tim's. And my impression was it was one of their first branching out type conferences. So that was great. Built a lot of wonderful relationships in Life Teen. When I graduated with my master's degree in 97, I ended up in upstate New York running a Life Teen program, and eventually we became a hub parish. I think they did that back in the day. And I was able to do a lot of training and just do a lot of stuff with Life Teen, which was great. I started teaching at Franciscan in 2004, and my main focus has always been teaching youth ministry. So it's always been a joy to stay connected to Life Teen, to speak at the occasional conference with Life Teen, to send students into, you know, I always like when you're looking at parishes, see if they're doing Life Teen, because if they are, then that means it's probably going to be pretty good. That's always just been a real joy. So that's why it's great to be here today.
Well, and it was a gift to have you speak at the conference last summer.
Yeah, that was super fun.
In 2025, you spoke at the Catholic Youth Ministry Convention. Yep. And, you know, for someone who has been in ministry myself and been in this same similar ecosphere, it's really kind of a comfort and a joy to know that there's someone like you in higher education and producing and helping to develop and have the really great conversations with students who might be looking at this as their life's work.
Right.
You know, and we're kind of, as an organization, as a ministry, as a movement, we've been around long enough that there's second generation now coming up. And what a gift for students, for young people wanting to serve the Lord, to see someone do it so joyfully and authentically and find them in school, which sometimes for some students can feel like a place of testing and maybe not always a safe space to be Catholic, to be able to be received by you and your colleagues there at Steubenville is a gift
definitely
to the whole
a safe
church.
Space to be Catholic.
Yes.
That's one of the gifts about Franciscan University. And, you know, the courses I teach, I'm always mindful that a number of them might go on to do it professionally, but I always end with an exhortation of like, but be a volunteer. Like, you got to be a volunteer. Like, even if you don't take this as a full-time job, you just sat through a semester of information that is way more training than most people get.
Yes.
And I offer three different classes, too. So, like, somebody could really get an incredible amount of training. And to whom much is given, much is expected. And I say, my hope for everybody in this room, you're going to be at a parish, and someone's going to stand up at an AMBO and say, we're looking for more core members or volunteers for youth ministry, and you need to say yes. You need to say yes to that because God is giving you. I mean, it might not be the exact time or season, but you need to have in your heart an openness to say yes. Because I think I speak for all of us in ministry. it's the volunteers. Like it's you are as good as your volunteers. Mm-hmm. You know, I was very successful, praise God, in ministry, but it was because I had a rock star group of volunteers who loved young people. And I always felt it was my role to help them do what God is calling them to do. You know, it was never like you need to work for me. And sometimes that's the perspective, like, well, why isn't the youth minister doing it? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, well, the youth minister's job isn't just to do ministry to young people, it's to empower the parish to do ministry to young people. And so building up those leaders, those volunteers, those are the relationships, those are the things that really, really make it work. So especially, you know, hearing this audience was for volunteers, you know, a shout out to all of you listening and all the great work you do. You know, it is noticed, especially by young people and certainly by the Lord. And that's what makes or breaks a really good youth ministry program.
Yes. And you mentioned training and the pieces that you can educate mm-hmm. through the classroom or that the youth minister can pass to the core members. One of those things that is a little bit difficult to quantify is relational ministry.
Right.
So much of it is learned through practice.
Yes.
And yet there are things that maybe we can take, you know, ideas, concepts that we can develop. Mm-hmm. And so one of those things that we talk about in our Connect the Dots training is that relational ministry is the process of forging authentic Christ-centered connections with teens. That's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
Like it sounds good. It's some fancy words,
right.
But what does that mean? Can you maybe define for us what you would say relational ministry is?
Well, relational ministry is absolutely at the heart of ministry. And I think that's one of the first steps of unpacking it. I think of, you know, when Jesus said that if somebody presses you into service for 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. And sometimes people refer to that as go the extra mile, like you're being special. But Jesus didn't make it an extra mile.
Hmm.
It was a command to go another mile. And many of the listeners probably know the cultural context of that. But back in the day, Romans could tap a Jew on the shoulder and they would be forced to carry that Roman's gear for a mile. And at the end of the mile, the person could drop it and go back. So it was a humiliating experience.
Mm-hmm.
So what Jesus was saying is do a second mile. So when you get to the end of that first mile and the Roman says, all right, you're done. And if the Jew says, you know, actually, I'm feeling pretty good. Let's do another mile. Well, where are the interesting conversations going to happen? Like, where's the witness going to happen? I mean, doing what you're supposed to do isn't so impressive. But doing what you're absolutely shockingly doing, that's what's amazing. And when I think in ministry, that first mile would be the life nights. It would be the trainings. Yeah. It would be the retreat. It would be all the stuff. And of course, we don't need to do any of it, quote unquote, but a kid doesn't know that. Like a kid just expects you to do that because you're wearing the t-shirt and you're a part of it.
Right.
It's this extra mile, the second mile, which is commanded of showing up at a sporting event or showing up at the play or finding ways to do things with young people. And, you know, it kind of waters it down in a weird way, but like relationships are simply shared experiences. And the more we can create shared experiences where we're doing things together, you know, even difficult things, that is where the relationships really start happening and the conversations really flourish.
Yes, doing difficult things together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes there's the core member that's really good at making the initial connection with a teen. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the fun thing. That's maybe the first mile in a way is the connection. But then the hard thing is to sit there when it starts to get uncomfortable or you run out of your great, you know, small talk
right.
prompts that the youth minister supplied to you. That's when it starts to get tough, or when the difficult conversation has to happen.
Right.
Or you need to challenge a teen. That's where we're going the second mile, perhaps, as well.
And as anybody in ministry knows, it takes a while for a teen to genuinely open up to you, especially, I would say, in parish ministry. Like sometimes I would have volunteers who were on a retreat ministry, like NET, you know, like what an awesome, awesome ministry that is. And they would come and they'd volunteer at my parish, and they'd be like, oh, no, I know youth ministry. I've done NET. And I'd say, well, you do. And you don't. Let me tell you what you're going to struggle with. At NET, you meet a kid on Saturday morning and they hate you, and Saturday evening they're crying and pouring out their life to you. In parish ministry, that might take 8 months.
Yes. Like
you just have to be really patient, and it will come. If you stay present, it will come.
If you're listening to Connect the Core, you're already investing in your growth as a youth leader. LifeTeen releases a free featured resource every month to support your ministry, and it's available to anyone. These are ready-to-use tools for life nights, small groups, and parish life, so you can spend less time creating and more time connecting with teens. Find it at lifeteen.com/cym/featured-resource.
I think of Jesus at the well, you know, with the woman at the well. Something that can get kind of missed is it says that Jesus was sitting by the well and he was tired. And Pope Francis actually noted this is one of the only times in the Bible that it mentions that Jesus is tired when he's waiting for the woman to show up. And so too, I think, with our relationships with young people, that's tiring. That's why it's easy to go back to that first mile and be like, you know, I can control the program. I can control the talk we're giving. I can control the gather. I can control the retreat. This relational element, we're completely out of control, and it's freaky and uncomfortable.
Yes.
But that's actually where the ministry happens. If we just patiently wait by the well and have confidence that the Holy Spirit is going to bring the conversation up.
That's really beautiful. And there's a sacrifice, I think, involved as well in the waiting.
Yeah.
That when Jesus was tired, he was experiencing that humanity, that very relatable experience. But there is a sacrifice to that too. I think about how often now in modern society, we pull out our phones as soon as we're uncomfortable or bored.
Yep.
And one of the things a core member might intentionally do is not pull out their phone and just be in the awkwardness of either waiting for a teen to approach, waiting for the chance to approach them, or just sitting in small group when no one is speaking for 30 seconds and just wait.
Yeah.
And so that's a really good way to contextualize that for us.
There's a humility to it.
Yes.
Because we think, hey, this you're wasting my time. Like, why isn't, you know, like my time is so valuable and all these things. I love how, you know, the root word of ministry is minus. Mm-hmm. And the second you say, I'm doing ministry to young people, you're actually saying, I'm being less than young people. And that's, of course, modeled by Jesus, who, you know, as it says so beautifully in Philippians, didn't even count equality with God something to be grasped, even though he was God. And that model then becomes, how are we making ourselves less than? I've had kids have conversations with me because they just felt bad for me. Like, because I just looked like I didn't have anything to do. But that's some of it. Like, if you're on your phone, if you're doing stuff, if you seem like you're good,
right,
then they're good. Like, they're not gonna come up and talk to you or do anything like that. And so I think that's part of the challenge for the leaders in ministry, for their volunteers, which is how are we thinking of creating relational opportunities for volunteers to thrive in. You know, especially in a time of safe environment, we can't always just say, just go hang out with young people. It's like, what does that even mean? Going to games are really good, like supporting them, being seen by them is great. But even just thinking of ways that you can get more relational bang for your buck, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Something that really impressed me when I was in high school, and I mentioned earlier I was in Young Life. So I grew up outside of Chicago. We went to a camp in Colorado by bus. It was a 40-hour bus ride.
Holy
there
cow.
And a 40-hour bus ride back, right? It's just absolutely insane. And it always broke down. It always
broke
down.
Of course, yes.
And one of the big highlights was we stopped at the Mall of America, which back then, you know, was just the greatest place on the planet. For the 80s, like the Mall of America was like Mecca.
It
was like
the greatest thing. It still is a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So a couple years into Young Life, I found out that there was a camp in Wisconsin. You can hear my Chicago coming out. Wisconsin. And it was only about 5 hours away. So I talked to my Young Life leader, Lewis, and I said, hey, Lewis, did you know there's a Young Life camp in Wisconsin? He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh. I'm like, is it good? And he's like, oh my gosh. He said, it's like brand new. It is amazing. And I was like, okay. And I'm thinking he's going to like make the connection, but he's just, you know, I said, why don't we go to that and save some time? And he looked at me like I was crazy and he said, and miss 80 hours of a bus ride with teenagers?
Oh.
Right? And I thought of it of myself, like when you're in long trips with kids, they just break down and start talking to you.
Yes.
Like they just do it because they run out of things to do and suddenly you're there and things just start opening up. I'm always impressed with youth leaders that find a way to add things to like our student conferences.
Yes.
Like let's go to Six Flags or something, but the day after, you know, so now I get another night with them and a day with them. And now we're walking around with them and just being there for that unpacking.
Yes.
And a shared experience. I mean, like going to a conference is a kind of shared experience. Doing a life night is a kind of shared experience. But really, like doing something together where you're both the recipients of the experience or struggling with it, like a mission trip or something like that. That's where everybody builds relationships. And I think in terms of, you know, parish leaders being mindful of saying, now what more can we do just to have downtime for the volunteers and the teens to hang out and just to talk about nothing? That's really when you can begin talking about something, you know?
Yes, I've experienced that too. And boy, when you were talking about feeling less than the youth, being in ministry minus sitting on a bus for 40 hours is that experience.
Yeah.
That's kind of when you're feeling it in your body, when
you're twitching. Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
That is the evidence that you're doing ministry in that way.
And to say things like, I mean, you know, like don't put on headphones, don't play with your phone, just sit there.
Mm-hmm.
They'll start talking to you if you're like that, but it's hard and it's patient. But if you, again, if you're acting like you're fine, then they won't, you know, those conversations just don't happen. And we can get just kind of sucked up into those places as well. That really is the difficult work. I mean, when I had my volunteers, when I was a parish minister, that was always our conversation of how are we doing on relationships? I always tried to challenge like twice a semester that you're going out, you're visibly doing that other mile, just being at a game. And then, you know, try to coordinate that two by two. What are the good places to go? Where are the places we could be most visible? That's though where the real fruit is. It would always break my heart a bit when a kid would tell me that I was at their soccer games more than their dad was, you know? And I mean, the dad's working, you know, it's not like a deadbeat dad kind of thing. And I would only go like once or twice a semester, but young people notice those things.
They
really notice those things. And that becomes where, when we do those things, then when they come back and see us on a Sunday and we're talking about God's love and faithfulness, they believe that maybe we mean that.
Yes.
Because again, they don't get volunteering. They think for some reason we should be there Sunday night. That's not enough for them, sadly. It's just not enough for them. When we do those other things, suddenly now they're just more open and receptive and they realize, hey, you actually mean this thing that you're talking about.
So that is excellent guidance also for a youth minister to be able to have a measurable like that. You know, how can we kind of see the evidence of our relational ministry being an impact on our teens? Well, we can quantify it by saying that we've gone to this many games, this many plays, this many musical performances. For the core member, what does that look like for them maybe if they are wanting to initiate that in their youth ministry? Perhaps the youth minister is busy with other things, but what could the core member themselves do to create maybe that culture within the volunteer community?
So to state the obvious, at least two by two, right? You know, that's always, you know, don't just go out and do it. Like have you and another person, I think is a great thing. You always want to be visible. You're there for a reason.
Oh,
wear a parish t-shirt, wear a Life Teen hat. Like you should be recognized as somebody from Life Teen, somebody from the parish. Because it doesn't help if you're a nameless face in the crowd. Because all of our time is valuable, think through where could I get the most bang for the buck, so to speak, in this moment. I would usually try to go to away games about maybe 20 minutes or 30 minutes. At a home game, lots of people are there. At an away game, it's you, your friend who's the volunteer, and eight moms.
Yes.
And the entire team sees you, you know? And what's really fun is you get to talk to all the moms. You know, like you get just to meet other families and they're amazed that you're there because they don't even want to be there, right? And then sometimes, and all you have to do is wave at the end, you cheer, you know, they hear every cheer you do because there's only 12 of you on one side of the field. And then at the end, a lot of times they're like, hey, we're going to Pizza Hut. Do you guys want to come along? Yeah, okay, sure. And then you're sitting with the team and you're just being friends and you're just laughing and you're saying you did a great job. Another thing, this is my theater nerdness. Most school plays, you can go to the dress rehearsal. A lot of times family members might not be there that weekend. So go on the Thursday night dress rehearsal because you'll be one of the few people in the crowd.
It's a great idea.
They'll want to talk to you at the end. You'll be able to affirm them and say you're doing a great job. You know, like you'll be able to give them words that will really bless them and help them. Friday night, if that's when you can go, that's great. But they're surrounded by candy grams and flowers and everybody, you know, they might not even know you're there. And it's not selfishness. It's you're witnessing that the parish loves you, that the ministry loves you. And so you have to be seen, you have to be visible. You want to make your time count. If you can have conversations, that's great, but even if you're just being seen, that makes them think, "Wow, maybe I should be going back to that group or so." You know, like those are the things. And then the other nice thing is their friends see that. And then you're helping them bring a friend. Because when they're like, hey, you should come. Remember that guy that was at the soccer game and we had pizza with? He's our youth leader. He's really cool. You should check this out. And so all of those things become the real foundation, become the glue of a lot of things. So I would say that, like, find somebody else. Look at the calendar. Now, there's always more opportunities to go to everything.
Right.
So just start with the kids you have. Like, what sport are most of the kids in your group at? Mm-hmm. Like, what event can I go to that hits most of the kids?
Mm-hmm.
Just start there and just start supporting that. You know, some programs have a number of schools. You can't be fair. Like, but Jesus wasn't fair. Jesus spent most of his time with 12 guys and even of that with three, right? Like sometimes we overthink fairness in ministry.
Yes.
Just go where there's people, go where there's fruits. And you'll just start, again, it's a slow burn, but you'll just start seeing a process of young people being more responsive, having more conversations, doing things like that. I think those are some like small but really powerful things that any volunteer could start trying to figure out, how to do it.
And I really want to highlight, because I love what you said about helping the teen make the invitation to their friend, that by your presence there, by your involvement, that you're helping them to be able to evangelize in a way, because you already met this person, you see that they're pretty normal or somewhat, and they care about me. So come on to church.
If you're listening to Connect the Core, you're already thinking seriously about youth ministry. Join a 30-minute Life Teen info session to learn how we can support your parish through resources, training, and ongoing accompaniment from our parish success team. Open to any adult interested in learning more. Learn more at lifeteen.com/info sessions.
Bob, how about a couple of rapid fire questions before? It's not about Ohio. I promise there's no more geography questions. These are more ministry related. And, just your off the dome answer. It doesn't have to be, I'm not going to time you or anything, but quicker.
Yeah, got it.
What is your go-to for connecting with a new teen?
Trying to figure out what we have in common. Maybe sports. Maybe Star Wars, maybe comic books, maybe role-playing games. And this might add something else. Relationships should be organic.
Yes. So
there's some kids you're going to connect with and some kids you're not. That's why having a variety of volunteers is important. Like, though we want to be seen, I think you can support anybody, you can love anybody, but it's going to be okay that just naturally some kids will really like you and others might not. This is going to be surprising to you if you're not, I know this isn't video, but I wasn't really an athletic person when I was younger. I know, right? Look at me now. What happened? Beachbody. okay. If you're listening, I'm not athletic now. And so like sports guys just never were that interested in me, but kind of the geek crowd I always thrived in. So, so some of it would just be trying to figure out, what are they like? What are they interested in? And just starting to chat up.
But see, your list that you just gave, I was like, that's going to hit every teenage boy at some level. Star Wars.
Oh, I know. And, but, you know, I mean, I used to get made fun of because of that. Now it's like, cool. I'm yes, like, I don't know. I was not a teen at the right time. That's all I have to say. I was definitely not a teen at the right time.
What follow-up question consistently elicits meaningful response from teens? Like if you want to, you know, like a kind of a go-to is how can I pray for you this week? But like what kind of question do you find often helps to maybe accelerate their trust and ability to open up?
I think four of the most powerful words you can ask somebody is tell me more about that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there's five words there, yeah. Right, exactly. Because sometimes a young person will mention, oh man, I had such a crappy weekend or, you know, whatever. Or my mom was kind of, you know, like, oh yeah, I've, you know. And then just look at them and just say, tell me more about that. Yeah. And it, like, sometimes I find young people are like fishing, hoping that somebody will ask them, as opposed to being like, oh man, I had a bad weekend too, you know, and then we make it about us. And so like keeping it on them and just saying, tell me more. And that I find they always want to. I mean, there's something else that they're just waiting for the invite to open up in a lot of ways. Again, after you've been building the relationship and the foundation of things, mm-hmm. I find that to be a real powerful question. And I also like the, you know, what can I pray for? You know, you mentioned that. I think that's another mm-hmm. really good one. And here's the thing, though. When you say, what can I pray for? The next time you see them, you need to say, hey, how's that going? I've been praying for you. Because that can get to be really cliched as well.
Yes. You know? And it's consistent with what you've been saying about walking the walk, mm-hmm. you know, and showing the church in action. Part of showing the church in action is that when we say we'll pray for you, we do.
Yeah, right.
And then let them know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. How about what's a relational ministry win that you've experienced?
Oh my gosh. So many. Praise be Jesus Christ. A relational ministry win. All right. Well, I'll just think of one. It's a fun story. His name was Josiah, and he was the chief wizard at the high school.
Okay.
And I had been challenging teens to reach out even to the farthest out person. I think I said something like, just think of the person you think least likely to come to church. Try that. And this was somebody in one of the students' art classes who was making fun of Catholicism to this student. And she said, you don't even know what you're talking about. You know, you should come with me to church and at least you should meet the people that you're making fun of. And he said, I will. So then she called me. She was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I did a bad thing or not, but the chief wizard at the school is going to come. So it was great that we knew this was happening. He showed up in like a mesh shirt, skin pale as a ghost, black lipstick, a spiked dog collar thing. And everybody
just blended in.
Yeah. And everybody just treated him like normal.
Wow.
Just treated him like normal. Then he came back the next time and he kept coming back. And then a retreat was coming up and it was like, hey, Josiah, do you want to go on a retreat with us? And he's like, what's that? And you know, I explained it to him. He said, okay. So he came on a retreat, which was amazing. And, you know, on Saturday night, you had the time where kids come to the microphone and share what happened. So Josiah starts walking to the microphone and we're all like, this is it. This is the moment. And he said, I'll never forget what he said. I came on this retreat and I thought it would suck, but it didn't suck as bad as I thought it would. And then he sat down. It's like, okay, baby steps, you know?
We'll take
we'll take the win, but he stuck. And you know, so he kept hanging out with us for a few years. And then what I thought was really great is that after high school, he joined the Catholic Church.
Wow.
He just kind of said later, I just wanted to make sure this was like not a fake thing. And he started to realize that the people at church were a lot more genuine than some of the other people that he was hanging out with. But that was just long relationships. It was like a lot of, I don't know where this is going. It was a lot of, I don't think this kid's ever going to become Catholic or even love Jesus, but he's still showing up. So there's something going on. And we just, you know, and there's always that temptation to over preach or, you know, do a long apologetic about whatever. And it's like, right. We just got to wait for the Spirit to open the doors on that. Like,
amen.
Clearly the Spirit's working. So that was just one of many stories, but maybe, you know, one of the more dramatic ones of just seeing the fruit of just knowing a kid for a number of years without any thought of what the heck is going to happen here and just seeing the Lord do his thing.
That's a beautiful story. And for my fellow core members who are listening, you were not prepped on that. That was a story that you had. That's incredible. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And then, Bob, what's your favorite worship song to pray with right now? You're a musician.
Abide.
Abide.
That's a great one.
By
somebody.
Somebody.
I listen to the radio.
Beautiful.
It's one of those songs that like 15 different artists do.
Yes.
The way, the truth, and the life. You know, it's a great song. Check that one out.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And we have an audience of core members who, you know, are walking the walk, are doing the relational ministry, are people of prayer, mm-hmm. volunteering their time. Is there a way that we could pray for you right now?
That would be great. Yeah, just the ministry at Franciscan, mm-hmm. the formation of young youth leaders. I would say especially pray that they're not afraid to go into youth ministry. Mm. I think that's the thing I've been noticing, particularly since past COVID, where a lot of youth ministry jobs were cut and a lot of things shifted. You know, I used to have in my youth ministry classes, 3 out of 4 kids were in a youth group. Now it's like 1 out of 3 because there's a lot less, at least maybe in the Midwest or areas that draws it. Like I'm actually trying to just give a vision of what youth ministry is. So they think it's crazy what I talk about because they never experienced it. And then you could do this for a career. They're like, no, you can't. And my mom said, I can't, you know? And so they're business majors, even though they keep saying, but I really want to do youth ministry. I'm like, okay, don't be afraid, you know, like let the Lord call you to it if that's what he wants to. So I always find more often than not the past few years, just lots of conversations with students where I'm like, why aren't you doing this? Mm-hmm. Well, I'd love to, but I had to be a business major because my parents said I need to make money. You know, it's like, you can, if the Lord's calling you to it, he's going to provide. He always, always provides. And so, yeah, if you could pray for me, the formation of students and just the lack of fear I guess I'm just asking to pray for what Jesus said to pray for, more people for the harvest. The harvest is plenty, the laborers are few. Pray for more laborers for the harvest, especially my perspective coming from Franciscan. That'd be a gift.
Thank you, Bob. That widens our view because we're familiar with praying for vocations, perhaps for praying for priests, but to also pray for the lay leaders in the church to step up as well with courage and for those who are forming them. So, yeah. Thank you so much for this wonderful conversation.
Thank you, everybody. Really, thanks for all the ministry you're doing.
Yeah, I really appreciate you being here with us today. Thank you, Bob. Thank you so much for listening to our conversation about relational ministry. And you may want to know more. In this episode, I referenced the Connect the Dots training series, Volume 3 on Developing Your Core Team. Check out Chapter 5. And another great chapter to check out for further conversation is Connect the Dots, Volume 8, Chapter 4. These are great places to find more conversation starters so you can grow as a team in relational ministry. If you've been a Life Support subscriber over the past 3 years, you own the collection of printed books of Connect the Dots. If you're new to Life Teen, don't worry. The Connect the Dots training series is available to all Life Support subscribers through the digital resources library on our website. Your youth minister should know more. And there's so much more about relational ministry for subscribers and non-subscribers. Our parish success team at Life Teen is honored to answer your questions and walk with you. You can reach them at support@lifeteen.com or by calling 800-809-3902. Our website is lifeteen.com. I hope you'll join me next time for a terrific conversation with Mark Hart, Chief Innovation Officer at Life Teen. We'll be talking about vision for youth ministry. It's an entertaining conversation. We had a great time. He shares youth ministry gold with humor. In the meantime, you can stay up to date with new opportunities for yourself, your teens, and your parish by following Life Teen on Instagram at Life Teen and find us on Facebook and LinkedIn at Life Teen International. Thanks for taking the time today to invest in the spiritual lives of teenagers. Together, we truly do make a difference and glorify God. See you next time.